Welcome everybody. Welcome to the first chapter, Introduction to Hospitality Management. Hospitality in the contemporary context. We can attempt to loosely define hospitality. It involves an act of kindness in welcoming people, welcoming strangers, providing basic requirements to people and strangers who come into your house, into your hotels, into your area. You can associate it with food, beverages, stay, and forms of different types of entertainment and recreation. India is recognized the world over for our hospitality. In simple terms, it is referred to Atithi e Satkar. You know, the motto of India is Atithi Devo Bhava. Guest is God. The modern parlance of the term hospitality relates to the unique relationship between the guest and a host. Hospitality in a broader sense involves hotels, restaurants, wayside inns, dhabas, fine dining, rooms, bed and breakfasts, etc., etc., etc. I mean, it keeps going on. Anything and everything to do with persons, strangers or a person's ins want for a home away from home, for need for his travel requirements. You know, even food, beverages, anywhere you're serving a person, making him feel happy. It's completely defined also by its essence of giving a person space which is not familiar to him and making it a home away from home. In the olden times, the days gone by, pineapple was referred to as was a fruit of the hospitality industry. You know why it was that way? Because people in Brazil used to put pineapples outside their houses to welcome guests into their houses, strangers into their houses. So, welcome guests and extend welcome to people visiting them. And that was the symbol of the ancient times of hospitality. Different people will reflect diverse interpretation of the world of hospitality. What is hospitality? It's to create an enjoyable environment, to create the wow factor, to receive guests in a generous and cordial manner, to satisfy the guest's needs. When you say satisfy the guest's needs, it's every need of a guest. Whether he wants a clean room, whether he wants a good meal, nice environment, good service. So that all encompasses hospitality. It's a wide term. And tangibly, what does the hospitality give a person who provides the hospitality? I mean, money. Guest pays for renting a room, guest pays for or buying a meal in a restaurant. Tangible gain is money. In the olden times, it used to be barter. And then it moved to money when money came into existence. Intangible characteristics of hospitality. Basically, when you say intangible characteristics of hospitality, what do you mean? You mean he experienced the guest. Now, what do you qualify as the experience? I mean, the quality of the staff which is there. Are they trained well? Are they accomplishing every guest meet? Service with a smile. The way they are served. It is a very significant and a very useful aspect for the hospitality industry. These benefits make your establishment unique and gives a satisfying experience. If a person is serving you with a smile instead of a frown, it gives the entire, it uplifts the experience of the guest. The industry is very versatile. It encourages versatility and offers products and services that in a different manner, in a special manner. The significant spheres of hospitality are those that tend to satisfy every guest need of for stay, food, entertainment, etc. The history, let's get to the history of hospitality. Hospitality is considered the second oldest profession after prostitution. But ancient historical records which are recorded, we'll probably get more history, unrecorded history also, but there's no record of them, so you don't know about that. The earliest overnight stays which happened in lodging structures are aligned with the Middle Eastern trade and the caravan routes which happened around 5,000 years ago. So, to give you an example, the Silk Route would define the hospitality trade towards India, because the Silk Route was the main route which serviced all the spice requirements or all the trade which happened between India and the Middle East. So there were the caravanserais, which were at specific distance, functioned like present-day Mid-Eastern in khans. They provided only for shelter. So they were basically bed, no breakfast, no food. Other things like food, water, bedding had to be arranged separately by travelers. So travelers at that time used to carry their own food. They used to carry their own water, they used to carry their own bedding. What they needed was a structure where they could lie peacefully, and that is where the hospitality trade had happened. And during that travel time. And at that time, people mostly traveled by horses. The modes of travel were very limited. Not like today. The spirit of hospitality was dominant, mainly in the Middle East, because that's where the recorded history of says where it started from. But from country to country, the essence of good hospitality services differed, based on the price paid, the location of the establishment, the country and the culture of this which it comes from. So basically, in the English terms, in England, it would be more distinct. In India, it would be more friendly, because the culture is completely different. Each region has its own culture. So the culture influences is the kind of service, the kind of essence, and country to country, you have their own different ways of serving their guests. Let's use the social gathering places in ancient Greece had a reputation for good food. Guests could choose from a variety of delicacies, including goat's milk, cheese, barley bread, peas, fish, figs, olives, lamb, and honey. And the great Greeks were foodies at that point of time. Romans also influenced the hospitality industry a lot. Many of their citizens were affluent to travel for pleasure. Well-built Roman roads gave them easy access to most of the known world. As soldiers compared to new areas, Roman citizens could visit exotic places in comfort. There were other travelers, including trade merchants, diplomats, army personnel, widely used the Mediterranean and European roadways. Here there are independent innkeepers who welcome travelers on their journey. Hospitality initially was all about innkeeping. And it was all about being independent innkeepers. So people had property, so they converted that into inns. Not like in today's world where they become corporatized, there are chains. That was not existing at that point of time. Italian innkeepers incorporated in the year 1282. Hospitality began as a full-fledged business for them at that point of time. There were dramatic increases in development of inns of private ownership in 1539. As part of the dispute with the Roman Catholic Church, England's Henry VIII, declared that all lands owned by the church would be given away or sold by the monopolistic churches. Interestingly, the concepts of hospitality and hotels have been an extension of civilization and technology advancement throughout the world. The roots and practices of the hotel and hospitality could indeed be traced back to the origins of man's faculty of a wandering instinct. When I say that, you know what I mean, is that a person has got the instinct of wandering around, wants to explore new places, and that's where the roots of practices of hospitality originated from, and its origin can be traced back to that aspect. However, as a refined and professional meaningful phenomenon, it has indebted its identity to the rapid onset of the transport dynamics. So in today's day and age, transport has, and the main means of transport have increased. Earlier, there used to be only horses. From horses, it went to carts. Then it went to motor vehicles. From motor vehicles, the sea. Ships, and then it moved to flights, and the and everything has kept on improving in its standard and its proficiency. In terms of quality and quantity, the hotel industry has been advancing since the 18th century, and it's dramatically landscaped prominently after World War II. Mass tourism developed only after World War II at a global level, because World War II, after World War II is what the airline industry took off, and people had the means to travel. So hospitality industry, it got a boost in its arm, and World War II also ensured that people knew about different countries all across the world. So after the peace, which was inherent at the time after World War II, and the accords which were signed, allowed people more to travel across the world. And at this time, the stay accommodation segment had to be established in a big manner across the world, because people were traveling from one place to the other, either by sea or by air, and that made it possible for people for more stays to happen, people to see different countries, experience different cultures. Today, the hotels, accommodation and lodging sector is remarkably very important. The most visible and probably the most vital segment of infrastructure facilities for travel and tourism industry across the globe. So you have to understand, if people travel, they need a place to stay. But the only place to stay is not just, it's not just a room or just a food to eat. It's all about the culture which they want to experience. They come, especially the tourism industry, people come to experience the culture. They want to be there, they want to experience the culture. So that whole thing builds out in the accommodation sector. And that's the basis of today's hotels and the hospitality segment. And there has to be a small, positive two-way interaction between the tourist and the person and the rooms available. Unless that happens, if you have less accommodation available in a particular area and more tourists are coming in, then either one is going to be affected, because your tourist then inflow will fall because there is no accommodation available. So that is also a very important aspect. Till recently, the affluent were the only ones who were able to travel. They cherish and enjoy the perks of hospitality. Now it's spread across different segments. Everyone gets a chance to travel in their own budget. So you have different categories which have come up. Different types of personalized service, depending on what you pay, and how much you pay for what. So people know what to expect from the place they're going. Innovations have come in the hotel. Catering is developed in a big way. And there are some extra luxury and personalized services which have been developed over the years. However, today there has been a trend where there is a shift towards the budget economic segment. Like I said, that trend is mainly due to the factor of everyone being able to afford to travel. Travel has become cheaper. When travel becomes cheaper, more people can travel. When more people can travel, not all of them can afford the luxuries, ultra luxury stays. So there has to be economy hotel establishments where they get satisfactory and essential standards of comfort, hygiene, affordable price ranges, where they can come and enjoy themselves and not feel that they're in a bad place. So hospitality has established itself in different segments, and it's across the world now. Hospitality industry is catering to the exalted taste of discussing concerns. It ranges from different things. Somebody has got a taste for boutique hotels to resort hotels. Somebody has got 5-star luxury hotels. You know, somebody maybe, your backpackers want dormitories. Somebody uses paying guest accommodations. And there are lots of these facilities which are being moved around across the hospitality industry. Your Airbnb services, you know, people who live in different people's houses. Timeshare concepts. They're all making a case from home, away from home. So when a person travels, he or she feels comfortable wherever they're staying. Feels like a part of the culture, feels a part of the place. Feels completely attached to where they're going and enjoys the services which are provided. Every place provides different kinds of services. Now there is, rapidly there is growing competition in the hospitality industry. So everyone has to provide something extra to attract a particular guest within their segment which they cater to. So that extra gives the special attention to the person. It could be anything. A place like Rajasthan, if you've got a four-room bungalow in which you've set it up, so the extra could be the luxury or the heritage of the place which you provide, the personalized meeting the owner taking you for a drive across the places in Rajasthan. I'm giving an example of Rajasthan, but every place has got its unique style and using place where you can provide for something extra. And that is a requirement of today so that, people come. And increasingly it is the interaction between the host and the guest and the interplay, personal relationships which they develop is what hospitality is becoming all about. So it's not. It's about the little things, which become the big little things, which count for more things, which are noticed, which take you above your competition, which make you better than the person opposite. It gives you a more personalized sense. That's where hospitality is moving towards. Everything is becoming personalized. Well, it could be the elegance and the luxurious comfort of the decor, the fine locations, up-to-date facilities, understanding of the needs of the discerning traveler, the quality of the service associated, the efficiency of the service, high standards of personalization, high standards of the quality of the person. All these attributes it's to today's hospitality. And these have become trademarks for different international hotel chains. Ramada, Marriott, Hilton, Holiday Inn. So when you go into a Marriott, whether you go in Mumbai or you go in Delhi, you will expect the similar kind of services, similar kind of experiences. No hotel can give you the same. It will always give you a similar because the people's business. Everything is all on the personal. So no two people have the same personality who are serving you. Recently, there have been a spurt of activities which have increased the hospitality arena like nothing. Events, exhibitions, MICE. You know, what MICE are meeting, incentives, conferences and exhibitions. All which are gathering, garnering to, tourists into a particular place for various different requirements of the tourist itself. Boosting tourism receipts, creating employment opportunities. Then they are offering buffers between seasons because, you know, your typical tourist comes during, in India, they come during September to March. So your typical business traveler comes throughout the year. So all these activities like events, exhibitions, MICE, they are all business oriented. So they offer buffers during the off seasons where the tourist activity is low. By turn of the century, many challenges in the hotel industry. It's all about the experiences which you give to the guest. It's all about different understanding the different tourists, whether it is a business tourist or whether it's a leisure tourist, and giving them what they require. So the challenges which are faced is an acute manpower shortage. Now this is one of the main reasons is because of the lack of training and lack of availability of manpower to do hospitality is a very people's oriented job. So it's a job where a person has to be interactive with your guest, has to serve the guest, has to do all the menial labor towards the guests. So, you know, the staff which you get has to be trained that well. So lack of training in the professional environment is, and finding lack of trained talent in the price range which you can afford is another aspect where there is a shortage of manpower. It is highly labor intensive, the industry. And because it's highly, because it's you know, it's human to human contract interaction which is very high. The labor intensity is very high. And but in the future, you see the different technologies which are coming in, AI, you'll have robots which will manage certain aspects. So the labor intensity which will come down over a period of time. But all this cannot happen. You have to become cost effective, but all this cannot happen at the cost of your service techniques, at the cost of your guests. Guest is always premium. He is Atithi Devo Bhava. Guest is God. You can re-engineer for improved productivity, efficiency. You can give the ability to work smarter to people. All that requires training. All that has to be trained on. But nothing should make the guest suffer. Human resources is a very critical aspect of hospitality, tourism industry. Human beings, I mean, it's like I keep saying, it's a people-centric business. Travel and tourism, which accounts for over 200 million jobs across the world, which is approximately 9.3% of the jobs worldwide, is now this job percentage will probably increase. So, but what the main aspect is, you've got to get people and train them. And they have to be, you know, hospitality trained in as per standards which you describe for your own place. So whilst the quantity of jobs is unquestionable, the quality of them is a great concern. So you have to have a person cleaning the toilet. The quality of job is there. You have to have a person doing housekeeping. Quality of job is there. So you can't improve, change the main aspect of the job. But you've got to find people with quality to be able to perform that and interact with the guests. So there are problems, poor conditions, low pay. You can't afford, especially budget hotels cannot afford to pay high. So there, because of that, there's high staff turnover. It's a 24/7 job. So because it's a 24/7 job, it's like when you're on duty, you are standing all the time. So it's a physical job. And that physical job creates problems. Recruiting skills is an issue. You are deriving labor mainly from your environment, which you are in. So that gives a disadvantage. So if you are in a village, you may get labor from outside, but that becomes expensive for you. So if you pick labor from a village, you've got to train them. They're socially disadvantaged groups. And because of that, there's a clear absence of professionals. So you got to make them professional. These are real challenges in recruiting, developing and maintaining committed and staff. You have to have a motivated, well-motivated workforce because they're interacting with the guest. A person comes in to work and is unhappy about anything, that unhappiness will show on his face. The guest come for a leisure travel. He doesn't want to see an unhappy person in front of him serving. He'll show in his service also. So those are challenges which are there in day-to-day activity of hospitality. I mean, establishments in hospitality include hotels, resorts, restaurants, pubs, bars, nightclubs, food service outlets, casinos, holiday homes, theme parks, spas, amusement parks, dormitories, paying guest accommodations, etc., etc., etc. The list can go on, it's never unending. Hospitality is in every region and every aspect also. The main aim is also, I mean, hospitality works in the social environment which we are, so we have to boost your social responsibility. We cannot have a distinction between the three main P's: people, planet, and profit. Corporate social responsibility is always about people, about human resources, human responsibility. To be hospitable basically means to open one's house to a guest. That's the typical type of hospitality. Typical type of hospitality. I mean, it's typical of hospitality. You open one's house to a guest, whether you work in a hotel, but a hotel is your house where you're working. You open it to a stranger who comes and stays there, using all your facilities which you've created and to use. It's human relationships are a very large extended is the whole crux of hospitality. Your interaction with your guest, how you treat your guest. Guests pay for that. They're paying for your hospitality. They expect professionalism from you. They expect the warmth and kindness from you. They expect smile from you. They expect the all the features of tourism from you. This tension between moral experience of hospitality and the economized concept of hospitality is an important feature of tourism. As relationships, people are more and more often reduced to economic relationships. In our consumer society, the need to make the ethical relationship between people explicit grows. CSR or corporate social responsibility is extremely important to tourism, which is one of the fastest growing industries in the world. Increasingly contributes to many of the negative effects of globalization, such as gap between rich and poor, environment pollution, and disrespectful development of destinations. On the other hand, CSR has generated good chances and hopeful incentives and initiatives for global tourism, such as responsible tourism, eco-tourism, poor tourism, geo-tourism, which are alternatives to mass tourism and consumer tourism. Question is the ethical tourism one that involves actual social responsibility possible? Of course it is. What happens when hospitality is not considered important? quite unintentionally, people are not going to come back to your place. They won't come back. And of course, the adverse publicity. So if you don't consider it as an important aspect, you have a hotel and you're not being hospitable to your guests. You're not providing hospitality services to your guests. You're just giving them a product as a room or food, and you're not giving them what they require. So they won't come back. Choices are plenty. And obviously they'll give an adverse effect in today's day and age where the internet will go on and on about this. It is because hospitality at your property will become subsequently associated with being unsatisfied. People will avoid something which caused them pain, which caused them, anyway. They won't want to spend time in a place where they're not getting hospitality. The simple thing is, hospitality industry has mushroomed from privately owned, independent organization business to complex organizations, to corporates. Hospitality businesses are also closely knit with the providers of the travel and tourism industry. They strongly affect one another. So if in a town or in a state or in your town, if the businesses are not very hospitable and people do not like the services which are being rendered there, people may not come. So tourism gets affected in that place. So it closely affects both. The remarkable components of this towering hospitality and tourism industry include food and beverages, accommodation, recreation and entertainment, travel-related services, personalized services in conjunction to the first four components. They complete each other. All four of them are interlinked. And they collectively provide different aspects and different experiences to our guests. In the recent years, the growth in tourism in India has been phenomenal. And it's going to keep increasing because India has got the potential of being a major tourist destination across the world. It's got various, it's large, it's got various different cultures, it's got various different climates. And it provides for every kind of tourism. So there's adventure tourism, you'll get adventure tourism, you'll get resorts, you'll get hill stations, you'll get every kind of tourism which a person wants. So India is, and different kinds of culture, different foods in different areas. So India is going to be one of the major hubs of tourism in the world. And we are reaping the, as a country, we are reaping the benefits of tourism, enthusiasm of tourists from foreign nations. And that's because our food and our culture and people have migrated from India to different destinations abroad, where they have settled in. So they bought in that, the exotic nature of India in terms of its climates, its geography, all allows for great domestic destinations. And we've got various destinations, like in, you go to Rajasthan, it's mainly historical. You go to Kerala, it's mainly beauty. It's the backwaters. So different kinds of destinations also provide for different kinds of tourists to come in, depending on what the interest of the tourist is. And history of India is huge. We've got history which, I mean, spans different kings, different rules, British rule, the Mughal rule, the Cholas. So the history is huge and different. Each area has got a history of its own. Hospitality industry, the hotels are part of this tourism product. One of the key components of tourism, the facilities which are offered, the services which are offered, they've actually improved, you know, the first hotel in India to what they are today. The most luxurious hotel in India is the Taj Mahal Mumbai, built in 1903. And what is it today? It provides that history, it provides that comfort, it provides that service. That's what it's all about. and provides the facilities, provides the standards. And the more the tourism industry increases, the more the hospitality industry increases. They're all interlinked. The contribution of travel and tourism to capital investment is projected to grow at 6.5% per annum during 2013 and 2023, with a global average of 5%. Contribution of travel and tourism sector to India's economy is estimated at 16.5 trillion for 2023. India drew 8.6 million foreign tourists in February of 2023 alone. So, and all these foreign tourists are not coming to one place. It's not 8.3 million flocking to Rajasthan or flocking to this. They're traveling across India. India is a vast variety of culture, heritage, language, food, which a person will love to experience. One visit to India is not enough for a foreign tourist. We'll always keep coming back once the person is coming. And the hospitality and the warmth which Indians show to the guests, to the tourists, also makes them want to keep coming back.